Welcome back to Omnia Talks, where we explore the deeper truths. Hidden beneath the noise, where awakening begins and illusion gently falls away. I'm your host, Ryan Munoz, and today's episode is a journey across time, through history, through spirit, and through the very heart of what it means to remember. This is episode 10, The Return of Truth. What if the truth was never gone? What if it wasn't lost, only buried beneath layers of noise, beneath and forgetfulness? Humanity often thinks of evolution as progress, as if we're climbing towards enlightenment. But what if awakening isn't about learning something new? It's about remembering something ancient. Our ancestors once lived in deep relationship with the cosmos. They saw meaning in everything, in the stars, in the rivers, in the breath of the wind. They didn't see life as random. They saw it as sacred, alive, intelligent, a mirror of the soul. But somewhere along the way, we fell asleep. We traded the language of the heart for the language of control. We began to look outward for what was always within. And now, thousands of years later, that ancient knowing is stirring again. It's rising like an ember in the human spirit, reminding us that truth can never die. It only waits for us to listen again. So in this episode, we're not just going to talk about history. We're going to feel it. We'll travel from the sacred lands of Sumer and Egypt to the words of the philosophers and mystics, to the teachings of Christ, and the quiet voice that lives in all of us. Because what connects them all is not religion, not dogma, but the eternal rhythm of consciousness itself. The ancients called it the One, the Source, the Light. Today, we might call it love, awareness, or God. Different words, same pulse. So take a deep breath. Let the mind settle and let your heart remember that you are a part of this great story, because this is not just a return of truth in the world. This is a return of truth within you. So let's begin where the first written memories of humankind began. In the land between two rivers, where clay tablets whispered the first words of the universe, the land of Sumer. The story of humanity doesn't begin with war or inventions. It begins with wonder. Long before the modern world, before borders and religions, before the idea of history, there were a people who looked up at the stars and saw home. They were the Sumerians, living in the cradle of civilization, Mesopotamia, between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Archaeologists called them the first advanced society, but spiritually, they were the first to write down what the soul already knew. On their clay tablets, they were inscribing something called me. Not me as in ego, but me as in divine laws of the universe. They said that the God had gifted humanity with these laws, such as truth, harmony, justice, love, music, art, and wisdom. The codes that keep creation in balance. If you think of the universe like a great song, the me were the notes, and humanity's purpose was to learn to play them in harmony. To the Sumerians, the gods weren't beings sitting above us, in the clouds. They were living principles of the divine within creation. Each god represented a force inside of us. Enki, the god of water, symbolized intuition, the flow of higher wisdom. Inanna, the goddess of heaven and earth, represented love, desire, and transformation, the dance between light and shadow. And Enlil, god of wind, was the breath of divine intelligence that animates life. When they built their great temples, ziggurats, they weren't just monuments. They were stairways between heaven and earth. Each level represented a stage of awareness, a bridge between the physical and the spiritual, between man and God. They believed we were meant to climb those steps within ourselves, to awaken to the truth that the gods were not outside, but inside. Imagine a child in that time, looking at the stars not as a faraway lights, but as family, each one living intelligence, as a spark of the same source that breathes through you. That's how they saw the cosmos, as a mirror of the soul, heaven above, heaven within. And when we fast forward throughout time, that same light appears again in the temples of Egypt. The Egyptians called the universe Mat, the divine order. Everything from the sunrise to the beating of your heart was a reflection of cosmic harmony. Their temples were built according to sacred geometry, each angle, each measurement, mirroring the laws of the universe itself. Walking through a temple wasn't like visiting a building. It was like walking through your own soul. The outer courtyard represented the physical world, our everyday life full of noise and duality. As you move deeper inside the chambers, they grew quieter, darker, and more intimate. You were being prepared to meet the divine within. At the center, in the Holy of Holies, there were no statues, no idols, just silence. Because the Egyptians knew God cannot be seen with the eyes, only felt in the heart. They believed every human being carried within them the essence of the divine. They called it the Ka and the Ba. The Ka was the life force, the breath that connects all living things. The Ba was the soul, the part of you that travels beyond death, the bird that flies between worlds. To live a good life was to keep your Ka in balance, to live in truth, to live in Mat, because there, in their view, truth wasn't a statement, it was a state of being. And when you lived truthfully, you were in harmony with the universe. When you lied, hurt, or disconnected, you fell out of tune with the cosmic song. And so the Egyptians didn't fear death. They prepared for it as a journey of returning to light, a remembering of where we came from. The Great Pyramid of Giza was not a tomb, but a symbol of resurrection, a map of the human soul, ascension back to source. Its structures align perfectly with Orion's belt and the star Sirius. Symbol of spiritual rebirth. Even the king's chamber, where sound echoes infinitely, was designed to resonate with the frequency of creation itself. To the Egyptians, sound was sacred. They believed the universe was sung into existence. That vibration gave birth to matter. This same principle appears in the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was not a literal sound. It was a vibration of divine intention, the frequency of truth made manifest. So, when we look at these ancient worlds, Sumer and Egypt, we're not just studying ancient history. We're remembering a time when humanity lived as part of the living cosmos, not separate from it. They didn't worship statues. They honored states of consciousness. They didn't search for God in the sky. They found God in the breath, in the sun, in the movement of the stars, and the rhythm of their own hearts. That is the essence of ancient wisdom. To live as if everything is sacred, because it is. And as we travel forward through time, through Greece, Persia, India, and beyond. We'll see how this wisdom carried on, hidden like a golden thread woven through the ages, a thread that will one day find its voice again in the philosophers, the mystics, and the teachers of light who reminded humanity that truth cannot be destroyed. It only waits to be rediscovered. As Egypt's golden age faded, its teachings didn't die. They traveled, like seeds carried by the wind. They landed in the hearts of a new civilization, each one interpreting the eternal truth in their own language. One of those lands was Greece. To most, Greece is remembered for democracy, art, and reason. But beneath its marbled statues and mythic tales was something far more mysterious, a hidden inheritance from the East. The Greeks called it Sophia, divine wisdom. She wasn't just knowledge, she was a part of the living spirit of truth. That same light that once stone through Egypt's temples, now reborn in human thought. Philosophers, after all, means love of wisdom. And in its purest form, it wasn't about debate. It was about remembering the eternal. Pythagoras, for example, wasn't simply just a mathematician. He was a mystic who studied in Egypt and Babylon. He taught that numbers were sacred, that the entire universe could be understood as vibration and proportions. To him, mathematics was music made visible. He called it music of the spheres, the idea that every planet, every star, every soul vibrates at a unique frequency, and together they form the great symphony of creation. He taught his students that harmony in music mirrors harmony in life, and that the soul, when aligned with truth, resonates with the divine order of the cosmos. When you are kind, honest, and balanced, you are in tune. When you are angry, deceitful, or lost, you are out of tune. And so the work of the soul is to become an instrument of divine music once again. Then came Socrates, the philosopher who questioned everything, not to destroy truth, but to find it within. He believed that every person carries an inner voice, a guiding spirit that whispers truth to the soul. He once said, "The unexamined life is not worth living, because to live unconsciously without questioning is to forget who you are." His student, Plato, carried that torch even further. Plato described reality as two worlds, the world of forms and the world of shadows. He said that what we see, the physical world, is only a reflection, like shadows dancing on a cave wall. The real world, the eternal, unchanging world, exists beyond the senses, in the realm of pure truth. That realm, he said, is the home of the soul. Plato's allegory of the cave is more than philosophically. It's a spiritual initiation. Imagine a group of people chained in a dark cave, facing a wall their whole lives. Behind them, a fire burns, casting shadows of objects carried by unseen hands. The prisoners believe these shadows are reality, until one breaks free, turns around, and sees the fire, the real objects, and eventually, the light of the sun. That sun represents divine truth, the light of consciousness. And when he returns to tell the others, they mock him. They can't understand the light until they see it for themselves. This, Plato said, is the journey of awakening, the path from ignorance to illumination, and it echoes the teachings of every ancient temple. Truth cannot be given, it must be realized. Around that same time in Persia, a prophet, Zarathustra, taught of a cosmic battle, not between good and evil as forces of war, but as energies within every human being. He said, "The kingdom of heaven and hell exist first in the mind. His message was simple and eternal. Each thought, each word, each deed creates either light or shadow, and humanity's purpose is to choose truth moment by moment, until light becomes our nature again. This is the same principle flowed east to India, where the sages of Veda spoke of Brahman, the ultimate reality, and Atman, the divine self within. They declared Atman is Brahman. The self is the universe. Just as a drop of water contains the essence of the ocean, so too does every soul contain the essence of God. When you truly realize this, when you know it's not just in your mind, but in the stillness of your heart, fear disappears, because there is nothing separate, nothing to lose, nothing to fight. In that moment of realization, you understand what the ancients were always trying to say, that heaven was never out there, it was here, in every breath, in every atom, in every act of love. And as these teachings spread through cultures, through the schools of Hermes, through the mystery schools of Egypt and Greece, through the meditations of India, and the poetry of Persia, they all pointed back to the one thing, the universal truth. They called it many names, Logos, Tao, Dharma, Sophia, Christos, but the essence was the same, as above, so below. As within, so without. As the universe, so the soul. This was the law of correspondence, the hermetic principle that bridges heaven and earth. It taught that the entire cosmos is a mirror, and that every outer reality is a reflection of the inner world. So if we wish to heal the planet, we must heal ourselves. And if we wish to find truth in the world, we must live truth in our being. The philosophers were not inventing something new. They were remembering something old. They were the torchbearers of light that began long before their time. A light that whispered through stone, temples, through chants and scrolls, through the dreams of poets and prophets, reminding humanity of what we truly are, not flesh-seeking spirit, but spirit discovering itself through flesh. And though empires rose and fell, and centuries turned to dust, this hidden thread of truth continued, waiting to be reawakened in the heart of a new age. Because truth cannot be buried, but it cannot die. As the ancient world turned, new empires rose, and humanity's gaze began to shift outwards. We built walls, cities, and religions. But in doing so, we began to forget the inner temple. Yet, even in our forgetfulness, the flame of truth never went out. It simply went within. 2,000 years ago, in a small corner of the world, a teacher emerged, a man who spoke in parables, who healed the sick, not just with touch, but with presence. A man who saw divinity not as a distant god, but as something alive in every person he met. His name was Yeshua, known to most as Jesus the Christ. But to understand his message, we must look not through the lens of religion, but through the eyes of the soul. When Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you," he was not speaking metaphorically. He was pointing directly to the truth that the ancients has whispered for millennia, that the divine lives inside you. He was not here to start a new belief system, but to awaken remembrance, the Christ within. Christ was not his last name. It was a title from the Greek, Christos, meaning anointed one, the one who has remembered their divine origins. In the mystical sense, to be anointed is to allow divine consciousness to merge fully with human awareness, to become the bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus taught in symbols, not because he wished to hide the truth, but because truth must be lived to be understood. He said, "If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light." That single eye was the eye of the heart, the awakened consciousness that sees unity beyond all duality. The early Gnostics, those who sought Gnosis, or inner knowing, understood this deeply. They said the Christ lives not in one man, but in all of humanity, that it is the divine spark hidden within matter, waiting to awaken. To them, salvation was not about escaping the world. It was about remembering your true nature within the world. They taught that ignorance, not sin, was humanity's greatest fall, the forgetting of who we are. Their gospels, discovered centuries later in the sands of Egypt, speak with stunning clarity. If you bring forth what is within you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is within you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you. That is the eternal law of the soul. The truth you carry, if expressed, becomes your light. If suppressed, it becomes your shadow. The Gnostics were silenced, their scriptures buried and banned, but their essence lived on in the hearts of mystics, sages, and poets who felt the same truth burning in their chest. In the desert caves of Egypt, monks meditated on their inner light. In the mountains of India, yogis spoke of Atman, the same divine spark. In Persia, Sufis danced in ecstatic remembrance of the beloved. Different names, different paths, one flame. Consider the Sufi poet Rumi, who said, "You are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop." Or Mr. Eckhart, the Christian mystic, who wrote, the eye through which I see God is the same eye through which God sees me." They were saying the same exact thing, that separation is the illusion and unity is the truth that lives beneath it all. The mystics understood that to know truth, you must become truth. Not through words, but through alignment, through surrendering the small self to the vastness of divine love. That's why Jesus said, "Unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Because a child does not analyze love, they live it. They are open, curious, unguarded, still connected to the divine play of creation. To see with childlike eyes is to remember that the sacred is not far away. It's right here, in every breath, in every act of kindness, in every moment you choose love over fear. And that is where the story circles back to you. Because the return of truth is not about rediscovering old scriptures or temples. It's about rediscovering the sacred within your own being. The Christ, the Buddha, the Atman, these are names for the same inner light that is calling each of us to wake up. And when you awaken, you realize something profound. You were never separate from God, never disconnected from love, never without meaning. You were simply asleep, dreaming of illumination until truth knocked at your heart and said, "Remember me?" So, the mystics didn't just believe in truth, they embodied it. They became walking temples, living bridges between heaven and earth. And they showed us that enlightenment isn't some distant goal. It's a moment to choose to live in alignment with love, with honesty, with stillness. Truth has always been here, not as a belief, but as a frequency. And every time that you act from love, speak with integrity, or forgive when it's hardest, you tune yourself back into that divine frequency. That is the return of truth. Every story of awakening begins with forgetting. Even the greatest truth, when we left in the human hands can be reshaped into the shadows of their former light. After the mystics, after the prophets and the philosophers, came an age where the inner world grew quiet, not because truth disappeared, but because we stopped listening. Empires rose, kingdoms fought over the name of God. The sacred teachings that once spoke of unity were divided into doctrines and laws. What was once direct experience of divine presence became something external, a temple to visit, a priest to interpret, a scripture to memorize, rather than a truth to embody. The living spirit became a system, and in that shift from knowing to believing, the world began to fall asleep. In Europe, the rise of the church brought order, but it also brought control. Mysticism, the direct connection between God, was declared dangerous. The feminine voice of Sophia, the wisdom of nature, the sacred in your body, were all silenced or labeled heresy. The Library of Alexandria, once the beacon of ancient knowledge, was burned, its scrolls turned to ash, its wisdom shattered to the wind. And yet, truth never really truly burns. It hides in stories, in symbols, in the quietness of our own hearts who are trying to remember. In the East, sages still spoke of awakening, the Buddha's middle path, the Tao's effortless flow, but in the West, the light dimmed. For nearly 1,000 years, humanity drifted deeper into the illusion of separation. We turned the sacred earth into something to conquer, and each other, and turn each other into rivals instead of reflections. We fought the inner temple, the silent altar of the heart. But even in the darkness, there are always candles burning. Hidden in monasteries, carved in secret symbols, whispered between alchemists and poets, the ancient truth endured. It resurfaced in the Renaissance, when art was once again spoke the language of the soul, when painters like Leonardo da Vinci wove sacred geometry into every brushstroke, hitting divine proportions within human beauty. It resurfaced in Hermetic philosophy, inspired the Emerald Tablets of Hermes, a text said to hold the secret of all creation. It read, that which is above is like that which is below, and that which is below is like that which is above, to accomplish the miracles of the One. This was not superstition. It was the universal law of reflection, the same truth spoken in temples thousands of years before. And then came science. Born from the same curiosity that once built the pyramids, but without spirit, science became a search for meaning in matter alone. And so the pendulum swung too far from faith without reason and reason without soul. The heart was forgotten, the earth became an object, the cosmos were once seen as divine, was reduced to cold mechanics and chance. And yet the deeper science looked into matter, the more it began to discover what the mystics already knew, that everything is vibration, everything is energy, everything is connected. And now, quantum physics now tells us that the observer affects the observed, that consciousness is not an accident, but a foundation of reality itself. It is as if science, after centuries of searching outward, have arrived back at the gates of their ancient temple, ready to rediscover the truth written on its walls. You are the universe becoming aware of itself. And so, we find ourselves here, in what we call the Great Awakening, an age when the old systems are crumbling, the veils are thinning, and humanity is being asked to remember who we truly are. It's not a coincidence that ancient symbols are returning, that people are once again drawn to meditation, energy work, sacred geometry, and astrology. It's not New Age, it's the oldest age, reborn. It is truth coming full circle. When we awaken now, we're not just individuals remembering, we're a collective remembering itself. Each soul, a spark of the divine flame, lighting up the whole world one by one. This is why the ancient prophecies spoke of a return of light, not a being descending from the sky, but a light rising from within humanity itself. The Christ returning through consciousness, the Buddha awakening an everyday person, the Sophia wisdom returning through compassion. It's happening now, in the conversations that we're having, in the questions we dare to ask, in the way people are beginning to feel truth again, not just think it. Because truth cannot be taught, it must be remembered. And as you remember, you realize that everything humanity has ever searched for, God, love, purpose, freedom, has been waiting quietly inside your own heart. The temple was never lost, it was hidden behind the noise. And now, the silence is returning, so we can hear again. So this is not the end of the story. It's the return to the beginning. The ancients called it the great year, the turning of the cosmic wheel. And as that wheel turns, we are waking up, not to a new truth, but to the truth that has always been here. Truth was never gone. It was buried in the human heart, and now it is remembering itself through you. So here we are at the turning age, at the turning of the ages. The ancients would have called this moment the return of the great light. The mystics called it Christ consciousness. And philosophers called it the remembrance of the one. But to you, standing here now, it may simply feel like something stirring in your heart, a quiet knowing that life is more than what we have been told, that love is more than emotion, that truth is not a set of rules, but a living, but as a living pulse within every breath that you take. When we look at the world today, you know, we see chaos, division. That's the noise. It's easy to feel that truth is lost again, but what if the turbulence isn't destruction, but awakening? What if every crack we see in the system is actually light trying to break through? The ancient mystics said that before every great awakening, there is a time of forgetting, a dark night of the soul for humanity. Because before light can enter the false must crumble. And that's what's happening right now. The world structures, political, religious, economic, even personal, are shaking, not because the truth is gone, but because it's returning. And when the truth returns, it brings everything that is false to the surface. That's why the path of awakening isn't always peaceful. It's raw, honest, and deeply human, because awakening doesn't remove you from the world. It asks you to bring light into it. You see, the return of truth is not just philosophy, it's an invitation. It asks each of us, will you remember who you are, not just in silence, but in action? Because awakening is not the end of the journey, it's the beginning of conscious living. When you realize that everything is connected, you begin to live differently. You speak with intention. You listen with empathy. You act with integrity. You stop seeing others as them and begin to see a reflection of yourself. That's the real revolution, not outside, but within. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, "You are the light of the world." He wasn't talking to saints or scholars, he was talking to you. Because truth cannot return to the world through ideas alone. It must return through people, through hearts that choose love over fear, forgiveness over judgment, presence over distractions. Think about it. The ancient Sumerians sought harmony through divine law. The Egyptians built temples that mirrored the cosmos. The Greeks searched for truth through reason and beauty. The mystics carried it through silence and love. And now, it's our turn. We are the continuation of their work, the next chapter in the story of awakening. The temples they built were made of stone. Ours are made of flesh and spirit. Every time that you pause before reacting, every time you choose compassion, every time you speak truth when it's easier to stay silent, you rebuild the ancient temple within yourself. This is the moment where spirituality becomes real, where wisdom becomes practice, where awakening becomes action. And maybe that's the lesson hidden beneath every ancient myth, that heaven was never a destination, but a state of awareness, that the soul's purpose is not to escape this world, but to illuminate it. So, when you wake up in the morning, remember, you are standing on sacred ground. When you speak, remember, your words create worlds. When you love, remember, you are reflecting the very heart of God. This is the meaning of living truth, because truth is not a concept, it's a frequency. It's a vibration that aligns the human and the divine into one harmonious song. And every time that you live from your heart, that song becomes louder, until the whole world begins to hum with remembrance. The ancients would have called this the age of the living light, the time when humanity no longer needs to be told what is sacred, because it can feel it. You can feel it now, in the stillness behind your thoughts, in the warmth behind your chest, in the quiet knowing that truth isn't something to find, it's something to become. And so, as we close this journey through the ages, from Sumer to Egypt, from Greece to Christ, from forgetting to remembering, one truth remains constant. You are the bridge between heaven and earth. You are the temple where the divine and human meet. You are the return of truth. So live it, speak it, be it. Let your life become the continuation of what the ancients began. Let your love become the scriptures of the world that the world needs to read. Let your awareness become living proof that truth never died. It only waited for you to remember. Because you are the remembrance, and the time for remembering is now. If you've made it here to the end of this journey, then something in you has remembered, something ancient, something eternal. Because the return of truth isn't happening in the sky or the headlines, it's happening in you. Every time you choose love over fear, every time you listen instead of react, every time that you live from the heart, you become living proof that truth has returned. That's what this whole journey is. This awakening is really about not escaping the world, but bringing light into it. And that's what Omnia is all about. It's about unity. It's about wholeness. It's about remembering that we are never separate from each other, from God, or from truth itself. So as you go back to your day, carry this with you. You are the bridge between heaven and earth. You are the temple where the divine and human meet. You are the return of truth. Thank you for being here, for listening, feeling, remembering. If this message resonated, share it with someone you love. And if you are new here, welcome to the journey. Because together, we're just getting started. I'm Ryan Munoz, and this is Omnia Talks.